Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Verses 25 through 37, Luke chapter 10. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the many ways your word guides us, counsels us, empowers us, molds and shapes us, empowering us to live a life of love, a life of mercy, a life of compassion. Father, more and more with every passing day, help us to know, Lord, that we're to live in such a way that your love flows through our words, our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do, and the lifestyle that we live. Empower us to be a people of compassion, of love, of mercy, of grace, in a world that desperately needs to be touched and affected wonderfully and mightily by your powerful hand of love. Help us to be faithful ambassadors to do just that, to be available vessels in your hands. We thank you and praise you for the privilege of being a part of your army of compassionate followers. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We appreciate you being a part of our listening family. We'd like to remind you once again, AFA's Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is coming up for 2020. Don't miss the conference that will help you strengthen your marriage and your family as you faithfully live for God in a culture that seems to be becoming more and more hostile to truth. This conference provides practical training and ministry encouragement for believers endeavoring to live out their faith in a hostile culture. The dates for the conference are June the 25th through the 27th here in Tupelo, Mississippi. The theme for the conference is In Defense of Truth. Some of the speakers include Dr. Frank Turek, Dr. Michael Brown, marriage and family expert Laura Petherbridge, Abraham Hamilton III, and many other outstanding speakers. So hope that you can come and be a part of this powerful event. Again, AFA's Marriage, Family, and Life Conference 2020. The conference also features Youth Apologetics track for youths ages 4 through 17 as well. For registration and more details, go to marriagefamilylife.net. Again, that's marriagefamilylife.net. The conference is a ministry of the American Family Association. We are honored and blessed to have as our phone guest today, Pastor Robert Laird. Pastor Laird is a hospice chaplain. He's a missionary. He's done a number of different things in his life. He's going to share a powerful, powerful story of his own journey. And in part, it's an adoption story as well. But hope that you're really listening. I think you'll be greatly blessed. Pastor Laird, how are you this time?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Brother Parker.
That's great. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. I want to ask if you'll take a moment now just to a little further introduce yourself to our listeners before we go into your story.
Well, yes, sir. I'm a father, a husband, a grandfather, and very grateful for God's grace in my life. Though I have been a hospice chaplain, I'm not currently. I still have business that I'm working in, but I'm also involved in our church, in a marriage ministry that we're about to start. So looking forward to that, and I just am very grateful for what the Lord has done in my life and in taking care of me all of my life and also taking care of my mom. And okay. I'd love to share the story with you.
Okay. Well, again, we appreciate you coming on the broadcast, the Hour of Intercession, to share your story. And so, again, it's a unique and a powerful adoption story in actually many different ways. So as we begin, I'm just going to let you just go ahead and start as the Lord leads.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Parker. You know, not every child that is conceived is expected or hoped for. Sometimes pregnancies come as a total surprise at an inopportune time or in circumstances which are far from safe and secure. And these were the circumstances surrounding my birth. When my mother was 4.5 years old, my family, or her family, was devastated when her father was shot and killed. Her memories of her father were loving memories, and his loss was felt very deeply. When her father died, my mom's mother was 3 months pregnant with her younger brother. Now, the protection and the provision of a husband and a loving father were gone, and it was very difficult for her family. Sometime later, my grandmother remarried to a man who showed some measure of compassion for them and their situation, but this marriage proved to be difficult, especially for my mom and her younger brother. Their stepfather was given to alcohol, and he often spent his paycheck drinking at the nightclubs at night. When he came home, the children would try to read his mood to determine if they needed to stay out of his way, to avoid his anger and abuse. Life was particularly difficult for my mom, his stepdaughter. She couldn't do anything right. She couldn't please her stepdad. He was jealous about any attention given by his wife to my mom, to his daughter. He had no compassion for her, and he didn't really give her the protection and the love that she deserved. When my mom was 16, a nice young man took an interest in her. He was a little older than she was, and he had also lost his father when he was younger. He gave attention to my mom, showing more respect and affection than she had ever remembered feeling from her stepdad. And before long, their emotions and their need for intimacy led them to get too close physically, well before they had a real chance to get to know each other and to be able to decide if they would want to commit to each other in marriage. And then the unthinkable happened. My mom became pregnant. She thought, now what do I do? What a mess. What will my father do? What will he and my mother say, not to mention the rest of my family? She thought about the town that she lived in, which was a very small community, and her church that she went to with her family. All of them would know. And she thought, should I consider an abortion? She couldn't fathom the thought of taking the life of a child in her womb, a child that had no choice to be conceived in her body and couldn't help the circumstances that he or she would be born into. No. She would give this child life. She would love this child while the child was in her womb, and she would face whatever challenges lie ahead. Well, my mom told her mother and her father and faced her father's rejection, especially. Her parents pondered what to do. Neither of them would consider abortion, but nor did they want to disclose their daughter's predicament to any of the family or their church or their community. And after a few days of deliberation, they decided that they would hide my mom's pregnancy. They would take her to the Salvation Army, a little over an hour's drive away from their home, and she would stay there until it was time to give birth. the rest of the family, the church, and the neighbors will be told that my mom had a nervous breakdown.
Pastor Larry,
I
want to interrupt for just one quick minute. Before you go further with your story, the very, very powerful story, would you pray for families that find themselves in a similar situation to the one your mom found herself in at that point, an unexpected pregnancy of a teen? You know, it's so common today, yet you have so many different reactions. Sometimes parents just feel like it's the worst thing in the world, and sadly, some do choose the tragedy of abortion, and there are just many other reactions. But there's such a need for us to understand that the love of God never ceases to work, even in that circumstance, too. Would you pray for families, for God's grace and wisdom to prevail, who find themselves in a similar situation at this time?
I certainly will. Heavenly Father, every child that you create in a mother's womb is your work with a purpose and a plan. But Lord, for the mother who doesn't have a husband, who doesn't have a safe home, it's difficult, and it's a trial. And Lord, I just pray for women out there. I know there are many, and I've known some very closely and closely related to me and my family. And Lord, I just pray for them, Lord, that they will have the courage to take care of their baby and to recognize that baby is a life and a life with value and worth. And Lord, I pray for their families. There are situations that they're in that are sometimes very difficult. And I pray, Lord, that you would, if any of those people would be speaking or listening now, that you would help them to see, Lord, that a child is not a burden, it's not a problem, it's a person that needs love, and that daughter needs love and grace and support, and that happened for a reason. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give them grace to reach out and support their daughter and help her and to take care of the baby, Lord, because you have a plan and a purpose for all things, and that they will come into a closer relationship with you through even this circumstance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, I too thank you, Father, for your sovereignty over the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, your church, and thank you for your sovereignty over families and individuals that find themselves in a situation such as this. Father, more and more help the church to rise up to preach and teach about these issues from a Bible perspective and a perspective of love and grace. Help us. And I pray, Lord, specifically for those that might be in this very situation, just as Pastor Laird was referring to as well, I pray that you'd help them to choose life no matter what, to choose to allow the baby to live and to be steered clear from the tragedy of abortion, and help them to be mindful, too, that adoption is a beautiful option to consider as well. But more and more, help us as the church to proclaim clearly that you're in your word. You tell us to choose life, and help us to be consistent in giving a biblical and a loving response based on the wisdom and the counsel and the guidance of your wonderful and powerful word. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, then if you'll just pick up where you left off there then, okay?
Well, my mom's family did take her to the Salvation Army, and they would visit her at the Salvation Army until her pregnancy began to show.
Pastor Larry, we're coming up on a break here. We're going to pick up right there on the other side, okay?
Yes, sir.
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Pastor Robert Laird as he's sharing a powerful adoption story. We'll be right back.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us, oh, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us, oh. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy.
The music of David Crowder, How He Loves. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Robert Laird, and he's sharing a powerful adoption story, sharing his own journey. Pastor Laird, if you pick up where you left off on the other side of the break there.
Yes, sir. My mom's family visited her at the Salvation Army until her pregnancy began to show. Then she was left alone. Mom's stepfather and mother arranged for the baby to be given over to the care of a foster care agency. My mom was pressured by her parents to sign the papers. The hospital staff were instructed by my mom's parents not to let her see me or hold me after my birth. The staff honored their request. My mom's parents were not even with my mom at my birth, but they came later to make sure the papers were signed and to bring her home from the hospital. The evening of my birth, when the room and hallway were quiet, my mom put on her robe and walked down the hall to look through the window glass, trying to tell which baby was hers, but she wasn't able to. As her parents drove her home from the hospital, Mom was forbidden to talk about her experience giving birth. She was even forbidden to ever speak of her pregnancy again to anyone, even to her mom and dad. Oh, the hurt that she felt. But in her heart, she had one consolation. She had one peace. She had loved her baby and given him life. Inwardly, she wondered what would happen of her baby. Would he have a loving home? Would he know that he was loved by her? But she knew she had loved her baby and given him life. Years passed by. Life would go on. My mom was able to return to high school and finish. She was able to get a decent job and eventually married, having two more children of her own. She didn't know what happened to me, but every Christmas, which was my birthday, she would feel her loss of me. She would wonder about me, and she would hope that I was okay. As a child in foster care, I found my permanent home when I was 4 months old. And it was a loving home. My adoptive parents had wanted children for years but were unable to conceive. They went through an extensive process to prove that they would be good parents. And after several months of being my foster parents, they were granted an adoption by a judge. My adoptive mother and father were in love with each other and with me. After 3.5 years, they were able to adopt a little girl from another unwed mother. And our family of four seemed complete, but it was not to remain that way. Life doesn't always happen as you would hope. When I was 4.5 years old, my adoptive father died of cancer after a brief illness. Now I would experience the loss of a father, just like my mother did, at about the same age. But unlike my mother, I did have a secure home when my mother remarried sometime later. My second adoptive father was a good father to my sister and I, and he loved my mother dearly. I am grateful for the care and support I received from all of my adoptive parents, and I thank them for introducing me to the Bible and to faith in Christ. I learned that in spite of life's hardships, there is a God who looks out for us and He cares for us, even in the midst of difficult times.
Pastor Laird, I'm gonna step in one more time, and I want to take a moment to briefly pray about the wonderful ministry of adoption. You know, it's an area of ministry that for people that have never maybe delved or looked into that, there's so much about the world of adoption that many people are not aware of, but it's such a tremendous area of ministry. It's a big mission field in and of itself. Would you pray for the ministry of adoption in the body of Christ?
I certainly will. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you illustrate for us the importance and the value of adoption, because as believers, as Christians, we too were adopted into your family. We are your adopted children. And Lord, thank you for the ministry of adoption. And I know it's not always done the same way by every adoption organization, but Lord, I pray for those who are involved in adoption, Lord, that you will give them wisdom and courage for all that they do and perseverance. And I pray that more mothers who have children, Lord, who are not prepared, do not have a husband, do not have a secure home, that they would consider adoption to give that child the best opportunity for that prepared, loving home that the child needs. I pray that they'll not look at it, Lord, as a selfish or a selfish thing, but they'll realize for many of those young women that this is the best thing for those children. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give wisdom and courage for all who need to place their child in adoption. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Laird. Okay, well, you can pick up where you left off there, okay?
You know, even as a child, an adopted child, I believe that God had a very real purpose in my life. In fact, I believe that I'm here because He designed for me to be here. Even though I came into this world without a father at that time, and my mother had to give me up for adoption, I was still created by the Lord with a purpose for my life. There's a psalm that is coming very much to me. It's Psalm 139. It's a long psalm, but it's worth knowing. Mm-hmm. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read three of the verses, or four of the verses, to you.
Okay, go right ahead.
It's verses 13 through 16 in Psalm 139. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I cannot understand God's ways, but I will say that He didn't abandon me when I was taken from my birth mom. The Bible says that one other scripture, Psalm 146, verse 9, God upholds the fatherless, that's me, and the widow. Mm-hmm. God took care of me. I am just grateful that my mom also took care of me while I was in her womb.
That's powerful. You know, Pastor Laird, again, your story speaks to so many issues that our culture is facing today. Sadly, there's so many in our world and our culture that would say that under the circumstances that your mom faced, they would be quick to say, oh, you need to abort. You need to get rid of the child. You're in no position to have a baby. And sadly, so many are quick to point to the tragedy of abortion, which is taking the life of an innocent child. And so thank God that God's grace was at work in your mom's situation to where she chose life for you And it's so important for the church to encourage the message that God's word clearly tells us to choose life that both we and our children may live. Father, thank you for the opportunity for us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to boldly and in love and graciously share the message of life. Help us to recognize in this world that's so aggressively pushing the tragic message of abortion that we're called to proclaim life, to stand up for life as well. Help us to be the courageous church and courageous individuals who are placed in places to be bold witnesses for life. Thank you again for the powerful story Pastor Laird is sharing with us. And I pray that you'd use it to stir more people to become bold advocates for life in the body of Christ. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right. Well, if you'll just continue right there with your story.
Well, you might wonder, well, there's so much more to this story, more than I can share in just a few moments. But as the scripture said, my life was up as an orphan. My life was taken care of. It was upheld by God. And I came into a personal relationship with God at an early age through faith in Christ. I was called, and I was called to the ministry of the gospel at the age of 12. And I served as a pastor, a missionary, and a hospice chaplain for 11 years. My wife and I have been married 43 years and have 10 of our own children who are living, one child in heaven, 14 grandchildren, and one grandchild still in her mother's womb. Because of Christ, we are a close-knit family. We love each other, and we come together often. Every Sunday afternoon, there's one or two of the extended family who come home, and we all fellowship together.
That's great.
But you might ask, what about my birth mom? Did I ever seek her out? Yes, I did, especially at the prompting of my family, and in particular, one daughter named Lydia. I sought to find her. Now, I waited a while to seek out my birth mom because I respected my adoptive parents and I did not want to hurt them in any way. But there came a time, November of 2018, I contacted the children's home which handled my adoption. I had a letter from that children's home with just enough information that I could contact them. They were able to find and contact my birth mom. There were several third-party interchanges at first, anonymously. Then I was asked to write an anonymous letter to my mom. I could use my first name. And they delivered this letter to my mom. That letter put her mind at ease, and she called me. And she said, "Bob, this is your mom." That letter, I still keep. She keeps that letter as a precious reminder. She read it many, many times after I first wrote her and then after our first phone call. She just couldn't believe that I cared for her.
Mm-hmm.
Now my mom and I are best friends. My mom has said that we came into her life just when she needed us most. She says that there is so much love in our family, and she is so grateful to be a part of our family. And she spent her first Christmas with me and my family last year, 2019. It was a joyous occasion.
That's good. That's good. Well, Pastor Laird, let me ask you this now. Did I understand correctly, your daughter wrote a song about or for your mom. Is that correct?
Yes, she did.
Okay. Tell us about the song.
Well, I told my daughter about what my mother had experienced and how she felt, but how courageous she was to give me life. And my daughter, this song came to her one evening at night. She got up from bed, and it came to her all at one time. She sat down and wrote it. And I'd love to share that song. I know we've made a recording of it, but we also have it in writing. How would you want to share that song? How would you want me to share it?
Well, I tell you what, we're gonna on the other, we're coming up on a break in a few moments, but on the other side, we are going to go ahead and share the song itself. But if you can go ahead and start sharing with us some of the lyrics, and if we need to interrupt and pick up on the other side, we can. But share with our listeners some of the lyrics of the song itself.
Yes, sir. The name of the song is Brave. I can't imagine how it felt all alone that day, knowing everything you knew was all about to change. As your body began to show, you were told to hide in shame, but you loved me, and you chose me anyway. Brave, you were brave, to give me life when you could have walked away. Strong, you were so strong, letting go of every fear you had to face. Oh, thank you for being brave. You may have wished you could have seen the days turn into years, and every moment in between share the laughter and the tears. But when it's all said and done, you're the reason that I'm here.
Pastor Laird, I'm going to step in. We're coming up on a break, and we're going to go ahead and share a recording you made of the song on the other side of the break, and we'll talk more about the song itself on the other side. Our phone guest today is Pastor Robert Laird, as he shares an amazing adoption story. We'll be right back.
I can't imagine how it felt all alone that day, knowing everything you knew was all about to change. As your body began to show, you were told to hide in shame, but you loved me and you chose me.
Strong, God made you strong. Let
A beautiful song simply entitled Brave, as recorded by Pastor Robert Laird, a song written by his daughter. Your daughter's name is, did you say Lydia?
No, this daughter is Bethany Warren.
Okay, and Bethany, and she wrote this song after hearing about your mom's story, basically, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, a beautiful song, a very powerful song with a very powerful message to our culture and our world today as well. So, but if you could pick up, you were sharing about the lyrics again. We heard them as you sang them, but if you continue to share a little bit more about the lyrics of the song itself.
Should I continue reading the lyrics or just tell you more about how it came to be?
Well, if you could finish sharing the lyrics and then share anything else you would like to share about the song itself.
Yes, I'd be glad to. So I finished. I was saying, you may have wished you could have seen the days turn into years and every moment in between share the laughter and the tears. But when it's all said and done, you're the reason that I'm here. Brave. You were brave to give me life when you could have walked away. Strong, you were so strong, letting go of every fear you had to face. Oh, thank you. Thank you for being brave. You carried such a heavy burden, but your courage to believe God was with you in the waiting, and he brought you back to me. Brave. God made you brave to give me life when you could have walked away. Strong, God made you strong, letting go of every fear you had to face. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mom, for being brave. And what's interesting is, Pastor, my mom did not know the Lord personally. She didn't have a personal walk with him at that time. She knew of him. She believed in him, but she didn't know him. Mm-hmm. But he still gave her strength to do what was right.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter wrote this song. All of my children have, and there are 10 of them, wanted to know about my mom, and my father as well. And they followed me along in this story, supported me. They all prayed for me today. And, but this daughter, the song came to her at night, and she just got up from bed and she wrote it down at one sitting. Mm-hmm. And the words and the music, I believe. And so it just expresses, it couldn't be a better blessing for my mom, because it really characterizes the choices she made to be brave, to do what was right for my benefit. Even though she couldn't know me, she didn't know me, but she believed that I was of value and worth.
That's right. That's right. Okay. And you did get a chance to sing the song for your mom as well?
Yes. When we went, we visited her 3 years. We just met her last year, and we visited her 3 different times, actually twice to her location, to her home. And at that second visit, I sang it for her with some of my children around me. Mm-hmm. And it was such a blessing. She couldn't look in my eyes. She was so blessed by the song. And it means a lot to her. She's so thankful that we have been brought together, that God took care of me, that God answered her prayers, and that God took care of her, that we could meet each other.
Well, praise God. Again, a beautiful, beautiful story there, too. So have all of your children met your mother then?
Yeah. Excuse me. Yes, all but one.
Okay.
One could not make it during Christmas. Her husband and her, and 2 children live in North Carolina, and they weren't able to be here. But all the rest came. We have a family photo of all of us in our living room. And all grandchildren and great-grandchildren for her. So she's going to make a special trip to go visit my mom where she lives.
That's good. That's good. Now, while we have time, I wanted to give you the opportunity to share. Before you met your mom, you had the chance to send her a letter. Would you share that letter?
Yes, I'll say, introducing the letter, my mom, when she first was contacted by the social worker agency, she wasn't sure she was up to this. She didn't know anything about me. She wasn't in very good health, and she told them that she wasn't sure she was up to it. But then they asked her later if they could send a letter to her that I had written to her. Mm-hmm. And she said yes. So the letter was anonymous. They allowed me to use my first name, but not my last name. Mm-hmm. Let me read the letter, because this expresses my heart. Not knowing her, but this expressed my heart.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I just wanted to say thank you for being receptive to receiving a letter from me. The social worker told me that you especially thought about me every year on my birthday. I can honestly say that I have thought of you often, and perhaps especially on Christmas Day. I want you to know that I have truly always had a warm affection for you, even though I have not known you personally. I have always known that I was adopted, since my adoptive parents told me when I was very young. When I was in my later teen years, my adoptive mother read me a letter which she had from a social worker with the Social Worker Society. In this letter was written a brief description of you and my biological dad. I know that you were 17 and a senior in high school. I imagined how difficult that must have been for you at that time of your life, that you did what you thought was best for me and for all by giving me up for adoption. I wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart because you loved me enough to do what you thought was best for me. You could have done as many do today and had an abortion, but you gave me life. This is one of the reasons I wanted to reach out to you, to thank you for giving me life. God took care of me, and you were part of that, and I love you for it. I also wanted to know for certain if you had come to know Christ as I have. The mother who adopted me was the primary reason I came to believe the gospel and to repent of my sins and to trust Christ. I did this as an 11-year-old boy when I was 12 at a Royal Ambassador retreat associated with the Southern Baptist Church. I believe God called me to ministry, and I have spent much of my life in ministry as a missionary overseas, a pastor, and at the time of this letter, serving as a hospice chaplain. I have often thought that I would become acquainted with you in heaven. Then I would realize that I didn't know if you would be there. The social worker said that you told her you are a Christian and you attend a Baptist church. I was so grateful to hear that. I, too, attend a Baptist church in my community and have for most of my life. Well, my wife of 42 years and I have a large family. Of course, they're all adults now, and now we have a good number of grandchildren. All of our children would like to know more about you. They consider you a part of who they are, even though they have never met you. It's amazing how you know that some part of your identity is missing when you haven't even met the person who gave you life. I understand that you must be about 83 years old now, and that with more years, life brings more challenges. At the age of 66, I'm beginning to learn that as well. If you would like for us to get to know each other better, we could write each other back and forth. I would like to be your friend, if you would be open to friendship. Of course, I'm also open to visit you personally, with my wife too, if possible, but only if that sometime in the future you would like that. I do not wish to be an extra burden or stress in your life. I would love to meet you someday in person, perhaps your daughter too. I'd love to hear her story and to share my story. Well, I'd love to hear your story and to share my story with you. Whatever you decide, I want you to know that I am grateful for you, and I hope and pray that God blesses your life in these latter years, and I love you in Christ. Robert or Bob, your son.
Amen. Amen. You know, Pastor Larry, that's a beautiful letter, and I can imagine now, and of course, obviously, I don't really know, but I can imagine that maybe she had anxiety about the idea of maybe she thought you might would be upset with her for one reason or another, but the letter beautifully demonstrates the love of Christ, and I'd imagine the Holy Spirit used that just to open her heart to say, of course, I want to meet my son. So, beautiful letter. Thank you for sharing that. Our time is just about gone. You shared so beautifully. In just the last few moments, would you pray for, you know, your story touches on so many issues, adoption, abortion, birth moms, bravery, supportive families. Would you just pray whatever's on your heart for our listeners as we end our time today?
Heavenly Father, thank you for being the giver of all life.
Thank you.
The creator in a mother's womb of every child, and that no child is created, no matter what the circumstances, apart from your hand being involved in creating that child. Lord, thank you that you can bring beauty out of ashes. You can bring good out of sorrow and difficulty. And Lord, I just pray for every unwed mother out there today, Lord, who doesn't have the support, Lord, that you will give her the courage to trust you with this child and give this child life and to give this child adoption if that is in your will. But whatever, Lord, give this child life and to trust you, Lord, with her own life, if she doesn't know you, that you will take care of her because you're a father to the fatherless and a support to the widow and the single mom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Laird. Beautiful story. Thanks for being with us today. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. Thanks for joining us. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.